Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight is indeed a pleasure to welcome back to our studios a man that's making, I think, his third trip here for a show, third year. John Dreslin is back. Welcome back, John.
Thank you. It's good to be back once again.
Is it 3 years or maybe four?
No, you were correct. It's 3 years.
Yes. 3 years. John represents the Connecticut Gilbert and Sullivan Society, and you're in your 30th season. So that's quite a landmark for you.
Yes, it is. It's making me feel rather old, as a matter of fact.
Let me just read to the audience a little bit of your bio here, so they have a feeling of what's going on. As I mentioned, the 30th season with the group, 27 of them have been as music director. He has participated in over 100 productions across Connecticut and the eastern United States as a music director, conductor, accompanist, or actor in various genres of musical theater, from opera to Broadway musicals. He has received the nine Eugene O'Neill Awards for Excellence in Community Theater and a Lifetime Achievement Award from the Connecticut Gilbert and Sullivan Society. He is also a recognized scholar and lecturer on Gilbert and Sullivan. He has been the organist at the Union Baptist Church and Mystic for the last 26 years. He is a retired dentist and lives in Stonington. So now we know a little bit about you, and I guess the audience at home should be very duly impressed. That's a lot of credentials.
Yeah. Well, it took a lot of years to assemble it.
You know, that's what I tell people that say, you know, boy, you've won all these awards and everything. I say, well, that's mostly because I'm old and I've been around a long time. But that does help when you're in this position. Let's talk a little bit about the Connecticut Gilbert and Sullivan Society. Is this an organization that meets on a regular basis?
We do one production a year, usually in October. We start rehearsals beginning in the summer. We rehearse through the summer and then do our major production in October.
All right. So. Well, this year's productions are going to be on October 14th at 2 o'clock and a 7:30 performance, and then on October 15th, another 2 o'clock performance. So three performances this year. And let's start with the real important thing. What's the name of this year's production?
Okay. This year we're doing something called Princess Ida, which is, I must confess, one of my absolute favorite scores by Gilbert and Sullivan.
Not a household name, though.
No, I was going to say the name is not that recognizable, but it should be, because it's first-class writing, and the music is great. It's a very, very funny story, and it's also quite topical, because it deals with equality of the sexes and such. So it's a very, very current topic.
Always, what was good then is still good, right?
That's right. Yeah, we're still fighting out what they were fighting out 100 years ago.
Yeah. No new news, like no new jokes, right? Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about the story, and then we'll listen to some of the music that you brought with us from the show.
Well, actually, I'd like to start a little bit further back and talk about Gilbert and Sullivan themselves.
Sure, that would be great.
Yeah. You know, I'm sure your audience is familiar with the names of Gilbert and Sullivan. They wrote 14 pieces together, basically between 1871 and 1896, and the ones that everybody is familiar with, that know the names of, are HMS Pinafore, Mikado, and Pirates of Penzance. So those are the biggest hits. Gilbert wrote the words, Sullivan wrote the music, Very, very good partnership. So actually, I'd like to get in just for a second so you can hear what our group actually is capable of producing. So I'd like to start by playing a selection from one of, was recorded one of our live performances back in 2012 of HMS Pinafore, and it's the trio called Nevermind, Why, and Wherefore, which probably be familiar to a lot of your audience.
All right, we'll start with that.
Why and wherefore love can level ranks, and therefore, though his lordship stations mighty, though stupendous be his brain, though her tastes are mean and flighty, and her fortune's poor and plain. Ring the merry bells and lordship, blend ye with warring wow, for the union of his lordship with a humble captain's child, for a humble captain's daughter,
for a gallant captain's daughter,
and a lord who rules the water,
and a tar who plows the quarter.
Let the air with joy be laden, and the songs the air above, for the union of a maiden with a man who holds her love.
Never mind the why and wherefore, love can tell the ranks, and therefore, though you not equal relation, in my set could scarcely pop, though you occupy your station in the lower middle class.
Ring the merry bells on board ship, blend the air with warbling wild, for the union of his lordship with a humble captain's child, for a humble captain's daughter,
for a gallant captain's daughter,
and the lord who rules the water,
and a tar who plows the water.
Let the air with joy be laden, and blend the songs the air upon, for the union of a maiden with a man who holds her love.
John, now that we're in the mood, why don't you give us a little bit more about the organization?
Okay, we're at our 37th season now. It was founded in 1980. The objective is to promote and preserve the works of Gilbert and Sullivan. And as I said, we do one major production a year. All our cast are volunteers from the community. A lot of them have very, very impressive music credentials, graduates of conservatories and college music programs. We have some Hart graduates, Hart Conservatory up in Hartford.
Yeah.
As I said, we audition in the spring and rehearse through the summer. And we're always eager to get some new talent in and encourage whole families to participate. This year, we have quite a contingent of young people who have joined the cast. Some of them are holding down principal roles, and they're as enthusiastic as anything. And we're really happy about that because we feel that by including these young people and such, we're actually promoting the continuation of Gilbert and Sullivan to future generations.
Spreading the word.
When they get exposed, they really, really like the stuff. It's
great. Yeah. Keeping it alive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when we do perform, we use a professional 22-piece orchestra, have great costumes. We have a new costumer this year who's associated with UConn, and she's absolutely fantastic. As I said, we use a 22-piece orchestra. We're one of the few groups in New England that still uses the original Sullivan scoring.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of groups use a reduced orchestra to save money, but we like the original Sullivan scoring so much that we go to the extra expense to make sure that we use the real thing.
That's a lot of musicians to bring in.
Yes, it is. It is. And the thing is, they love it, too. They are professional, but...
they probably don't get a chance to do something like that very often.
No. And they really appreciate it. This year is the same orchestra basically as last year. We only had one substitution that we're using because one of our violinists had a conflict with a wedding that she had to play. So we had to find somebody else to replace her who's been anxious to play with our group. So that's
right. That
that's
speaks
wonderful.
A lot to the organization when everybody yep. wants to come back.
That's right. They love it as much as we do.
Great.
Yeah. So this year, as you said, we're performing on Saturday, October 14th at 2 and 7:30 p.m. And then the next day, Sunday, October 15th at 2. And we perform at the Performing Arts Center of Valley Regional High School in Deep River, Connecticut, which is pretty easy to get to for your listeners in this area. You just have to go down Route 95 and get off on Route 9 after you cross the Connecticut River. Then about, I think it's exit 5 is Route 80, and at that point you're almost to the theater. And it's fully climate controlled, handicapped accessible. We're using super titles so that the audience can understand all the lyrics, because sometimes they come thick and fast if you're familiar with Gilbert Sullivan. And we also are partnering with several local restaurants where you can get a 10% discount off your entire bill on the dates of the performance. So that's another plus. There's a there's a price reduction for advanced sale tickets. So all the details on all this can be found on our website, which is ctgands.org. So sort of short for Connecticut Gilbert and Sullivan Society. And the number to call for more information or for tickets is 860-554-1256. So you can get tickets either online or you can get them by calling that phone number. So I think good time right now to take another little break to listen once more to one of our live performances, this time from our 2014 production of Gondoliers. It's called quartet called Regular Royal Queen, where they're hoping that one of the two girls is going to be a queen and one of the two guys is going to be king.
Oh, 'tis the lowest thing I mean to be a regular royal queen. No, up and up, up there. double themselves in two, and open their eyes in blank surprise at what Elsie likes to do. And everybody will roundly vow she's fair as flowers in May, and say how clever at whatsoever she condescends to say.
Oh, 'tis glorious thing, I hate to be a regular royal queen. Go up and up up there, me no up and up up there. But I'm a regular royal queen. Oh, 'tis a glorious thing, I hate to be a regular royal queen. I'll ride down a regular queen.
Well, that was a great look back, but now let's look ahead and talk about the performances coming up.
Okay, yeah. I'm really excited about Princess Ida. It's always been a special favorite of mine since I was a teenager. A lot of people think it's one of Sullivan's finest scores. During the second act, there's a sequence of number that is referred to by followers of Gilbert Sullivan as the String of Pearls because of their exceptional quality. And this was their eighth collaboration out of the 14, premiered in 1884, and it's unusual in several ways. First, it is the only one that's in three acts instead of two. The first and third acts are quite short, and the second act is sort of standard size. It's almost like a overstuffed ham sandwich or something, where all the meat there is in the middle of two little slices of bread on each side. So that's one thing that's unusual. The second is it's written in blank verse, like a Shakespeare play. Although you hardly notice it because it's so cleverly written, you don't realize that it is in the Shakespearean mold of blank verse. It's not at all stilted at all. It flows very nicely. Mm-hmm. This is probably because it is actually an adaptation of an earlier Gilbert stage play, which in itself is a parody of a long lyric poem, The Princess, by Alfred Lord Tennyson. And the plot is a satire on the women's rights movement, one of the disturbing and absorbing questions of the time. So let's briefly outline the story and hear some of this delightful music. So we have a hero, Prince Hilarion.
Have to have a hero.
I gotta have a hero, right, who was wed at the age of two to our heroine, Princess Ida, who was one at the time. They were separated immediately after the ceremony and reared by their kingly fathers. And it opens with 20 years later, with Hilarion is now 21. And he's waiting for his bride, Ida, who is now 20, to begin their married life together. However, Ida does not show up. Instead, only her grumpy father, King Gama, and her three extremely dumb warrior brothers show up. And King Gama is almost like Richard III. He's sort of a bent, twisted character. He cannot figure out why people don't like him better. So this leads into his introductory song, which is called If You Give Me Your Attention, and I think you'll realize why he's not a popular character.
All right. We'll listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more of the Connecticut Gilbert and Sullivan Society.
If you give me your attention, I will tell you what I am. I'm a genuine philanthropist, all other kinds are sham. It's a little fault of temper and it's social defect. In my erring fellow creatures, I endeavor to correct. To all their little weaknesses, I open people's eyes and little plans to snub the self-sufficient I devise. I love my fellow creatures, I do all the good I can. Yet everybody says I'm such a disagreeable man, and I can't think why. To compliments inflated I've a withering reply, and vanity I always do my best to mortify. A charitable action I can skillfully dissect, and interested motives I'm delighted to detect. I know everybody's income and what everybody earns, and I carefully compare it with the income tax returns. But to benefit humanity, however much I plan, yet everybody says I'm such a disagreeable man, and I can't think why. I'm sure I'm no ascetic, I'm as pleasant as can be. You'll always find me ready with a crushing repartee. I've an irritating chuckle, I've a celebrated sneer, I've an entertaining snigger, I've a fascinating leer. To everybody's prejudice I know a thing or two. I can tell a woman's age in half a minute, and I do. But although I try to make myself as pleasant as I can, yet everybody says I am a disagreeable man, and I can't think why.
Because it why?
Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, and we are sitting with John Dreslin, the music director of the Connecticut Gilbert and Sullivan Society, and we're talking about a performance that is going to take place on October 14th, 2 o'clock, and also one at 7:30 on October 14th, and then another on the 15th at 2 o'clock. And just to give you the information, in case you missed it in that first segment, the website for the Connecticut Gilbert and Sullivan Organization is ctgands.org. And we'll give you that again later on, but I just want to make sure you have that so you can check all this information out and get all the details of where to go and when to be there. John, let's get back to our story.
Okay, well, as said, Ida's fathers and brothers have shown up, but no Ida. And so, want an explanation? Well, it turns out that Ida has founded a fortified university where she teaches a curriculum that excludes all mention of males and where no men may enter upon pain of death. So, our hero Hilarion enlists two friends, and they're going to try to smuggle themselves into the university to try to show Ida the error of her ways. And that basically closes the first act with them on their way to try to see if they can convince Ida to reform. So the second act opens with Ida addressing her assembled student body and calling upon their patron saint to watch over them in a very beautiful aria called O Goddess Wise.
Oh, God.
right, as we move along, we're going to another piece of music. We're going to try to get as many in as possible, so I'm going to let you do the talking on these.
Okay. Well, Ida and her students go off to their classrooms, I suppose, and lo and behold, who sneaks over the castle walls but Hilarion and his two friends, Cyril and Florian, their names are. And so they happen to find some of the academic robes that the women wear as part of their school uniform, and they decide that the best way to insinuate themselves into Ida's presence is to disguise themselves as women.
So this is kind of like Tony Curtis.
Yeah,
and,
that's right. So they put on their robes, and they talk about what they would be if they were women. So they sing about that. And so that's the song, I Am a Maiden, which is a very rowdy song.
I am a maiden cold and stately, heartless eye with a face divine. What do I want with a heart innately? Every heart I meet is mine. Every heart I meet is mine. Is mine.
Haughty, humble, coy or free, little care I what they may be. So that the maid is fair to see, every maid is the maid for me. Merriment lurks in every dimple. Nobody breaks more hearts than I. Nobody breaks more hearts than I.
Haughty, humble, coy or free, little care I what maid may be. So that a maid is fair to see, every maid is the maid for me.
Coyly blushing, timid am I as a startled hind. Every suitor sets me flushing, every suitor sets me flushing. I am the maid that wins mankind.
Haughty, humble, coy or free, little care I what maid may be. So that a maid is fair to see, every maid is the maid for me. Haughty, humble, coy or free, little care I what maid may be. So that a maid is fair to see, every maid is the maid for me.
John, let's see if we can get one more song in before our next break.
Okay, sounds like a good idea. Well, the men are settling in their roles as women, and they happen upon one of the school's professors who explains to them Ida's philosophy that man, descended from an ape, is ape at heart. Of course, she's referring to man as the male sex, not humanity in general, and she illustrates this with a parable called A Lady Fair, and there's a very famous line in this, which is actually can be found at the monkey house at the Bronx Zoo, man is only a monkey shaved.
All right, we'll listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more.
Was radiant as the sun. The ape was a most unsightly one. The ape was a most unsightly one. it would not do. His scheme fell through. For the maid, when his love took form and shape, expressed such terror at his monstrous ill that he stammered an apology and made his escape. A picture of a disconcerted ape. Social scale, he shaved his bristles and he docked his tail. He grew mustachios and he took his tub and he paid a guinea to a toilet club. He paid a guinea to a toilet club, but it would not do. The scheme fell through, for the maid was beauty's fairest queen, with golden tresses like a real princess's. Despite his resolution, was the ape his ape that ever was seen? He bought white ties and he bought dress suits. He crammed his feet into bright, tight boots. And to start in life on a brand new plan, he christened himself Darwinian Man. He christened himself Darwinian Man, but it would not do. The scheme fell through, for the maiden fell from the monkey crib, was a radiant being with a brain of falsehood, while a man, however, will be hanged. At best, he is only a monkey shaved.
We are back on Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, and we're sitting with John Dreslin, the music director of the Connecticut Gilbert and Sullivan Society, and we're talking about the performances coming up in October 14th and 15th, and we'll give you details about that, the where and how, but I want to make sure you have the dates. It's going to be October 14th, 2 o'clock and 7:30, and the 15th at 2 o'clock. And if you'd like information, you can go to the website for the Connecticut Gilbert and Sullivan Organization. See the way I did that? It's ctgands.org, Connecticut Gilbert and Sullivan Organization. That works great. Yeah. And the phone number with operators standing by is 860-554-1256. And it's been a very enjoyable performance so far, listening to this music. It's very light and very sounds like Gilbert and Sullivan. It's amazing.
Yes, it does.
Particularly that last one. Yeah. Let's continue along with the story, and where are we now?
Okay, the men are still disguised as women, and it becomes lunchtime. And so all the ladies come on stage to bring in lunch. Unfortunately, they also bring a whole lot of wine. And one of Hilarion's friends, Cyril, decides to indulge very heavily in the wine, and he starts getting very tipsy. And all of a sudden, his maleness comes through in all its, shall we say, aggressiveness, and he decides he wants to kiss all the girls in sight. And so he sings this drunken song, really, called Would You Know the Kind of Maid?
Of maid sets my heart aflame. Eyes must be downcast and staid, cheeks must flush for shame. She may neither dance nor sing, but demure in everything. Hang her head in modest way, with pouting lips, with pouting lips. That's no, I die of shame. Please you, that's the kind of maid sets my heart aflame. flame. Kiss me, kiss me, kiss me, kiss me, though I die of shame. Please you, that's the kind of maid, set my heart aflame. When a maid is bold and gay, with a tongue goes clang, flaunting it in brave array, maiden may go hang. Sunflower gay and hollyhock, never shall my garden stock mind the blushing rose of May, with pouting lips, with pouting lips, that seem to say, oh, kiss me, kiss me, kiss me, kiss me, though I die of shame. Please you, that's the kind of maid, set my heart aflame. Kiss me, kiss me, kiss me, kiss me, though I die of shame. Please you, that's the kind of maid, set my
John, I'm a little disappointed that I didn't get a phone call about being cast in that last role. I think I would have enjoyed that.
Well, you'd have to be a tenor.
Well, yeah, that is that problem. But we could have, you know, could have changed a key or something. I can just see kissing all those women would have been great.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Now we're getting back to our story, and the women have been kissed, and what happens next?
Well, now, all this, of course, the women realize that they're dealing with men and not with fellow
the secret
students.
Is out.
So, yep, the secret's out. So the men are immediately arrested and sentenced to death.
That's pretty severe.
Ida is a pretty severe woman.
Okay.
She really is. She's like an iceberg, and it takes a while to melt her in the show.
Okay.
But at this moment, what should happen but the Hilarion's father and his whole army arrive and break into the school and demand the release of Hilarion and his two friends, with the threat that if they aren't released, then Ida's three dumb brothers and father will be executed. And so the second act closes in a really frenzied scene with the two groups, the ladies against the men.
Now, does the audience actually get to have an intermission at this point? Or?
Yep, then we have another intermission. There are two intermissions in the show.
Two intermissions,
yep.
So even one after that first short first act.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yep,
so.
Yeah, because we have a scene change, and
okay.
So we have to take time out and do that.
All right.
Then we get to Act 3, where the ladies are all clad, armed for battle, and with their armor on, and looking very fierce and such, but they, as they explain in the chorus that opens the act, underneath they really are not so intent on fighting after all.
All untarnished, we're instructed to display.
But to tell the truth unpunished, we are more inclined to say, please, you do not hurt us.
Do not hurt us, if it please you.
Please, you let us be.
Let us be. Let us be.
Soldiers, disconcert us.
Disconcert us, if it please you.
Frightened maids away.
Maids away. Maids away.
Please you,
do not hurt us.
Please you,
let us be.
Talking earlier, John, about how some things, you know, no new jokes, no new stories, the things that were important 100 years ago are still important. This last song sounds like something out of Star Wars, Death to the Invader. Luke, you are my father. Or son, whatever. Yeah. I am your father, whatever it was. But so it's interesting that, you know, we talked about how the it's relevant 100 years ago and relevant today.
Yeah,
let's continue on with the story.
Okay, so the ladies decide that they don't really want to do the fighting, so the guy come up with a solution. How's this going to be solved? And they decide that Ida's three dumb brothers, her warrior brothers, are going to fight with Hilarion and his friends. They're going to have a duel. And if the brothers win, then Hilarion and his friends, once again, are put to death. But if Hilarion and his friends win, then Ida is going to agree to the wedding and will become Hilarion's wife. Well, she's actually his wife, but they have never been living together. So they're going to set up household together if Hilarion and his friends win. And a surprising thing happens. The brothers, the warrior brothers, have been dressed head to toe in armor during the whole show. And when the time comes to fight, they prepare to fight by taking off their armor. So like a medieval striptease almost. And the logic of this is explained in the song This Helmet, I Suppose, which is a charming example of Sullivan's parody of another composer's style. In this case, he's parodying Handel, and you'll definitely be able to hear the Handelian influence.
This helmet, I suppose, was meant to ward off blows. It's very hot and weighs a lot, as many a guardsman knows, as many a guardsman knows, as many a guardsman knows, as many a guardsman knows. So off that helmet goes.
Yes, 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 so off that helmet goes.
But this tight-fitting cuirass is but a useless mess. It's made of steel and weighs a deal. This tight-fitting cuirass is but a useless mess. A man is but an ass who fights in a cuirass. So off goes that cuirass.
Yes, 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 so off goes that cuirass.
These bracelets, truth to tell, may look uncommon well, but in a fight they're much too tight. They're like a lobster shell. They're like a lobster shell.
Yes, yes, yes,
I treat the same. I quite forget their name. They turn one's legs to cribbage pegs. Their aid I thus disclaim. Their aid I thus disclaim. Oh, I forget their name. Though I forget their name. Their aid I thus disclaim.
John, we've had an excellent rundown of the performance and what's going to be happening, but we're running out of time, so I just want to make sure that everybody has the who, what, where, and how. So we're going to mention once again that it's going to be at the Valley Regional High School in Deep River, Connecticut, and the performance is Saturday, October 14th at 2 o'clock and 7:30 also that evening, and then Sunday, October 15th, once again at 2 o'clock. And tickets can be ordered by calling 860-554-1256 or going to the website ctgands.org and get all the information and everything you want to know is there. And if you see John at the performance, he'll even give you an autograph. That you'll do that one.
Oh, of course.
Well,
yes,
there you go.
Absolutely.
All right. I know that we need to kind of wrap this up, so tell us where we are.
Okay. Well, I actually, you're going to have to go to the show to find out how this all turns out.
Of course.
But what I want to do is just give you one more little excerpt about one of the most rousing numbers in the show, which is the finale to Act One, where the Warrior brothers and Ida's father are being hauled off to prison, and Hilarion and his friends are about to go and invade, sneak into Ida's castle. So,
all right. Well, John, thanks so much for coming tonight. It's always a pleasure.
Well, I had a great time also. Thank you, Mike.
All right. We'll listen to this, and then we'll see you all next time on Conducting Conversations.
Cell going thin and wizened in a solitary prison is a poor lookout for a soldier stuff who is longing for the rattle of a complicated battle. Yes, he's longing for the rattle of a complicated battle. Rum tum tum of a military drum and a gun that goes boom boom.
Complied with the just conditions of our requisitions. You may go in haste and indulge your taste for the fascinating rattle of a complicated battle. Yes, the fascinating rattle of a complicated battle. For the rum tum tum of the military drum and the guns that go boom boom.
The rum tum tum of the military drum.
Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.